Hey guys, it is Queer Jacket here, and I am recording a musical questionnaire, a very musical questionnaire, because I first wanted to do the music and writing questionnaire that Erin Arung posted. But then I read the writing part of it and I realized that it was more scripts and GWA than like just broad fiction writing, or well, broad writing in general. But then Aaron suggested that the musical musings questionnaire should, God damn it, computer, why? Aaron suggested that the musical musings questionnaire should be, it could be a good follow-up to Tark's ultra sexy music questionnaire. So I decided that I would put those two together. So I am going to respond. We're gonna start now with Miss Tark's ultra sexy music questionnaire. Submitted 1 year ago. Wow. Let's see. All right. Number one, choose one. Name your top five songs, bands, slash singers, or albums. I'm gonna go with bands slash singers. Let's see. I can't really think about all-time favorites, because my favorites tend to fluctuate a lot. I don't have like hard set favorite musical artists, but let's see. Frank Turner is definitely on this list. I love Frank Turner so much. He is a punk folk, punk rock. Now, like, leaning a lot closer to rock than, like, necessarily punk rock or folk. But I kind of hope folk makes a comeback a little bit. Because he had a really good sound on England Keep My Bones. And that was like a lot more. Well, I don't know. Anyways, Frank Turner, really, really good. If I had to recommend an album, it would probably be his latest album, which is Positive Songs for Negative People. See, this way I can cheat. I don't have to talk about just bands or singers. Number two would, it has to be Maroon 5. Because I was obsessed with Maroon 5 in high school. And they are the one band that, even though I like a lot of their older stuff, I know I'm gonna sound like one of those tired old, God, this album was so much better than their new stuff. Their new stuff is crap. I hate where they're going with it. Which is such a stupid way to look at music and musicians and artists. And like, yes, obviously, if you're looking at one genre, you will be partial to stuff that sounds like that genre. And if your favorite musician happens to move outside of that sphere, then yeah, maybe you might not like them as much as you did before or anything like that. But at the same time, people are so, like, they get so mad when musicians go in different musical directions as though they have any sort of, like, say or claim on the music that the musician decides to create. Like, it's so stupid. And it's so, like, it's infuriating because you forget in the middle of all this that you're not just listening to, for a lot of these musicians, you're not just listening to music, you're listening to like part of their creative output. You're listening to a part of them. A lot of musicians will put a lot of time and effort and a lot of themselves into the things that they create. And so to be like, oh, well, this is all shit because it doesn't sound like the stuff that you used to do is such a like rude and insulting and terrible just stance to have on the music. Like, fuck, you may not like their music as much as you did before, but you can't fault them for going in a direction that they felt they wanted to go in. God, like, fuck you. Anyways, wow, Jesus. Anyways, so Maroon 5. I really like Maroon 5. I am not as big a fan of their newer stuff as I was of their older stuff. But I do still like Maroon 5. And I just really, really like songs about Jane. So if I had to recommend an album, that is the one that I would recommend. They're so good. Listening to Maroon 5 feels like visiting an old friend that I don't hate now. So I like that feeling. Okay, so Frank Turner, Maroon 5. Leon LaJavis is this gorgeous, adorable, amazing, incredibly talented soul folk singer out of England as well. And she's really, really good. I don't have a whole lot to say about her, because she's just really good and she's really sweet. I saw her in concert and she put out like the best vibes, and she just was so good, and everything about her is perfect, and I just have the biggest crush. Oh my god, Leon LaJavis. Her latest album was really good. It's called Blood. I would recommend that. I would also recommend Is Your Love Big Enough, which was her first album, and that's really good too. But I think that Blood focuses on her more than her relationships, which I like. I liked seeing that in her music. So Frank Turner, Maroon 5, Leon LaJavis, Clipping. Ooh, Clipping. Okay, so I don't know if you guys know this, but if you've heard any of my other questionnaires or seen my comments or had to interact with me in some way, shape, or form, I am in love with Hamilton. It's a new Broadway musical. It's incredible. Written and composed by Lin-Manuel Miranda. I think orchestrated by Thomas K. No. Orchestrated by Alex Lacamoire, I think. It's incredible. It's so, so good. Anyways, David is the original Lafayette / Jefferson. It's a double cast role. And he is incredibly talented. He is a wicked fast rapper. And he's part of a group called Clipping, which is sort of like industrial / noise rap. It's so good. It's so good. And David himself is so fucking intelligent, and you can hear it in all of his raps, and just, he's so, number four has to be Clipping / David, because I am as obsessed with him individually as a rapper as I am with Clipping as a group. Which are, I mean, they're similar, but they're not entirely, because David, his raps don't necessarily strictly fall into noise rap. Like, he doesn't, or that's not the only thing that he does. Anyways, I don't know. You're probably not interested in all this. Oh, God. Okay. Anyway, so number four would be Clipping / David Diggs. Really, really good. Clipping's latest album. I say latest. I think it was released like a year ago or something. But it is also called Clipping, but without the vowels. And it's really good. I think one of my favorite songs is Body and Blood. And that's sort of my like pump up song. If I feel like I need to kick some ass, or if I need to feel like I gotta kick some ass, I listen to that song. Like, if I could just have that song and the Nicki Minaj verse off Monster, I would be set. Like, I could rule the fucking world, man. God. So good. So good. Anyways. Frank Turner, Leon LaHavis, Maroon 5, Clipping / David Diggs. Ooh, Lake Street Dive. Lake Street Dive is such a good band. Such a good band. The members of the band are all classically trained from, I think, like the New England Conservatory. And they, and so it's really interesting. I really like listening to them, not only because they're amazing, which they are, they're incredible. They have this incredible sound. It's like pop and soul and rock and R&B and, you know, jazz and all of these different genres all put together, but put together in a really like talented, in a really talented way. And it's really, really interesting to listen to because they'll play a lot around with a lot of different elements and, like, you know, they play a lot with tempo, which I really like and I think is really fun. And it's just really, like, it's not just musically fascinating, it's technically fascinating too. And all of it just makes me so happy. I love listening to their stuff. They've got a new album out very recently called Side Pony, which I haven't listened to all the way, but I've loved all of their singles so far, and they just, God, Lake Street Dive is just really, really fucking good. So good. Such a good band. Such a good band. I love them. And they're also just a bunch, they're a group of giant dorks, which makes me even happier. Anyways, so my top five band singers are Frank Turner, Maroon 5, Leon LaHavis, Clipping / David Diggs, and Lake Street Dive. Man, oh dear God. So we're at 12 and a half minutes right now for one song. God. Oh, God, why? Okay, number two. First concert you remember seeing. Frank Turner concert in June 2014. I always wanted to go to concerts before then, but all of the ones that my friends went to were big artists, and they were always out of my price point, especially, like, in high school and stuff. I couldn't go to concerts, and my parents would not pitch in to let me go to concerts and stuff, so I never went. But finally, a couple of years ago, I managed to go to a Frank Turner concert, and it was fucking incredible. He has such a stage presence. It's really, really great. I really love it. Just fucking Frank Turner, man. Just Frank Turner. Okay. Number three, a song or a band that you used to love when you were younger. Oh, why? I want to preface this with the, just keep in mind that I was a very violent emo child that did not know how to, like, communicate with strangers, in middle school. But with that in mind, like, My Chemical Romance. And Evanescence. Not really like middle school, actually. That was more like 8th grade / ninth grade. Back before I like had friends. it's so bad. Oh God. And I look back and I'm not trying to knock anyone who likes the bands. So this is not to say, like, oh my God, I can't believe that, you know, anybody would like Evanescence. I can't believe I used to like them, but, like, I've learned what good music is now. And it's nothing like that, but just that the way that I listen to them, and you know how, like, when you're a teenager and you're starting to learn about the world and like you get a little cynical for a while and all of that. But it's like light teenage cynicism because you still got such a like rosy fucking idiotic view of the world that, you know, you have these minor disappointments and they seem like major groundbreaking revelations and stuff. Yeah, that was how I listened to Evanescence and My Chemical Romance. And it was the stupidest thing, because I thought it was so profound and I thought it was so like, oh my God, yeah, these people like actually talk about stuff and blah, blah, blah. And like, it was the stupidest thing. And I was like, yeah, they're sad. Yeah, sadness. Sadness exists in the world. And it was the worst thing. And I kind of really hate myself for it. Because it was just so stupid. And there were such stupid reasons to listen to the music. And like, I'll still go back and I don't listen to Evanescence anymore because that's just like a little too much for me now. But I'll go back and I'll listen to like My Chemical Romance or, you know, Fall Out Boy or whatever. And like, I'll have fun with it. But I just think of how I used to be so into them and I thought it was so, so profound. And I just cringe. Oh, God. It's so, it's so embarrassing. Oh, God. Okay, number four. If you can tattoo a line from a song somewhere on your body, which lyric would it be and where would you put it? It's from a song called Demons by Frank Turner, and I know that everybody and their mother is probably putting this on their body. I would not actually put this on my body, but if I had to pick a line, it would be this one, which is, you're not delivering a perfect body to the grave. Time is not there to be saved. Mostly because I think that's a reminder that I really need. I think that's something that I need to keep in mind more, just, you know, personally. But yeah, but I mean, it's one of those lines that like, of course, is really quotable. Everybody's going to do art of it. Everybody is going to get it on their body. Everybody's going to do it. But I mean, there's also a reason for that, because it's a good reminder of, you know, take care of yourself, but also like take risks, you know, don't be afraid to get dirty and scraped up, because you may not want to go to the grave in pieces, but you also don't want to live life as though you're trying to get to the end, you know, of this pristine thing. So just, you know, like, even if you want to be safe, like, take risks and sort of try to be something. I don't know. So, and where would you put it? I would put it, on my rib cage. On my rib cage. No, sorry, not my rib cage. Basically on the side of my torso. I think it would probably come like just under the bra line, or so. Mostly because that's already where I want to get a Frank Turner tattoo, another one which I've designed, but I just have to figure out when I actually want to get it, and then I have to get the money together to actually get it. But yeah, it would go right there, on the under the bra line, the left side of my torso, of my chest. Let's see, number five. Do you play any musical instruments? Is there one that you want to take up learning? I don't play musical instruments. I really like singing. And on occasion, I have even been told that I sing well. By which I mean, I hit the notes. Really. Anyways, so I don't play musical instruments in that sense. I would like to learn either guitar or piano, but I mean, I'd like to learn a lot about a lot of different instruments, but I'm not. There are no instruments that I would say like, oh, I don't want to learn it. But there's no instruments that I would also like want to sit down and put the time and effort into learning. I don't know. Such a lazy answer, I feel like. Or it's a long answer justifying my wish to be lazy. Number six. Is there a certain song or certain songs that make you horny without fail? Not horny, but Closer by Nine Inch Nails will always get me started thinking about sex. Not even physically affect me, just like I just sex will just be on my mind. That's like it's just a fact. Oh, it doesn't make me horny, but also Please Don't Stop the Music by Rihanna also always gets me thinking about sex because I gave my first lap dance to that song. That was fun. Good times. Favorable response. It was pretty fun. So yeah, those two. Number seven, a song that everyone hates but I love. The song Perfect by One Direction. I don't know. I chose it mostly because it's a One Direction and I feel like I don't see a whole lot of other people here liking One Direction. I don't like them that much, but I so like I did not listen to a whole lot of contemporary music growing up because I lived in a conservative Indian household. So I grew up on like Bollywood and singers from like the 60s and like Indian singers from the 60s and the Beatles. And this continued until seventh grade. And like in seventh grade, I started being exposed to music because my bus to and from school would always play like a top 40 music station. So I sort of started catching on to, you know, different bands and stuff that way. But like I still wasn't really listening to music outside of whatever we had at home, which is not a whole lot. And then friends started, you know, they gave me bits and pieces of music and all of that. But I never started actually like seeking out and listening to music on my own until like maybe 3 or 4 years ago. So I'm partial to One Direction because they're the first boy band I got into because I didn't listen to NSYNC or 98 Degrees or Backstreet Boys or anything like that. I didn't listen to Britney Spears. I didn't listen to like any of these people. So I feel weird because that is my generation, but I feel so out of loop with it. And this was like, oh yeah, I'm actually here, like experiencing the craze. Mind you, I didn't actually go as nuts over them as some of these fans. Dear God. But anyways, so yeah, I got into One Direction. I like One Direction. And then they broke up. I don't really care. I just find it really funny, and I'm pretty sure that, like, you know, they're gonna fall into obscurity in like the next 3 years, and that'll be that. Where is it going with this? A song that everyone hates but you love. Perfect by One Direction because it's calling out Taylor Swift for her having written songs about Harry Styles, allegedly. Which I like, not in a like, oh, haha, Taylor, you stupid whore type way, but just in a like, well, yeah, Taylor totally wrote songs about, like, she wrote songs about them, and they, you know, they just wrote one back, and they were like, yeah, this is how it goes. Like, in that they actually responded and they were not trying to be like, oh, we'll take the high ground or whatever. I just thought it was really funny. And it was, I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. God, I don't know why I just said all of this. What is the song that everyone loves but you hate? Crazy by, I think, Gnarls Barkley. I hate that fucking song. I fucking hate that song. I despise it with every fire of my being, with the fiery passion of 1,000 burning songs. I hate that song. And a lot of people really, really like it. And it makes me really mad. Fuck that song, man. God. Okay. 8. If you starred in any musical of your choice, which character would you want to portray? Alexander Hamilton from Hamilton. My backup would be Lafayette/Jefferson from the same musical. Hands down. Just because I'm an attention whore. Wait, I decided that I am actually Alexander Hamilton, because I am, because I love to write, and I write a lot. I write a lot more than I should, probably, about things that don't matter, because I'm a slut, and because I think through exactly 0 of my actions before I take them. Therefore, I am Alexander Hamilton. Oh God. Did you really need any more reason to think I'm a freak? Like, did you really? I don't think you needed any more reason. You have more reason now, but I don't think you needed any more reason. Okay, 9. If you were an exotic dancer, what would be your go-to song to strip to? The cover of Lollipop by Framing Hanley. Period. That's just, like, just go listen to it and tell me that it wouldn't be fucking great to, like, strip or like give a lap dance to or something. I dare you. I double dare you. I triple dog dare you. 10. If you were to record and release an album, what would be its title? Please explain. God. I don't know. If you were to record and release an album, would be its title. I don't know what its title would be. I don't know. Like, this is not an album. Some like dumbass joke like that. Bitch, I might be. I don't know. I can't really think of what it would be. That's weird. I don't know. Maybe I would have like an Indian joke in there in the title, but I can't think of one right now. So, I don't know. 11. Is there a famous musician/musicians that you want to fuck? Please do tell. I would sleep with Frank Turner in a heartbeat. I would. I would probably do anything he asked me to and then some. Oh God. Yeah, Frank Turner. Also, if she were not so straight. So straight. Oh my God, what am I saying? If she were not straight, probably Leon LaHavis. Or I don't know, she might not be straight, but like, I don't have evidence of that. But I also have learned to not dream in my favor because it usually doesn't work out like that. Frank Turner, Leon LaHavis. Man, who else is there? David Diggs. Oh my God, I would totally, Jesus, I would totally sleep with David Diggs though. Yeah.
Yeah, I would. Yeah. Or Lin-Manuel Miranda, but he's also married and he has an adorable child. And David also has a partner. And Frank Turner also has a partner. Leon the Havis is possibly slash probably straight. Man, now I made myself mad. Or not mad. I made myself sad. Okay, so ooh, there ends Miss Tark's ultra sexy questionnaire. Thank you, Tark, for your ultra sexy questionnaire. God damn it, computer, why? Okay. Now on to the follow-up questions. So these now are the questions. This part is going to be the questions. Ooh. The questions by Aaron. All right, let's see. Number one, what genres of music do you listen to most often? I don't think I listen to any one genre that often. I would probably say rock because it's such an all-encompassing genre, or like the genre encompasses so much that it makes sense to say rock. But I listen to a lot of genres, like pop, rock, wow, Jesus, pop, rock, punk, rap, hip hop, soul, folk. I sort of listen to. I don't. That's the thing, is that I listen to stuff from all of these genres, but I usually listen to a lot of the stuff that gravitates, like, I don't listen to stuff that like is solidly soul or solidly pop or solidly anything. I listen usually to bands that are recognizably mixing genres. So, I don't know. I've been listening to a lot of rap recently, though. Number two, tell us about a time you discovered an artist from a genre you don't usually listen to. What drew you to their music? Have you gotten more interested in that genre as a result? Let's see. Who do I not normally listen to? At the time that I started listening to Frank Turner, I did not really listen to music like that. I mean, because I first listened to Recovery and I didn't listen to anything that sounded remotely folksy, which Tape Deck Heart was not, by the way. I will put that out there. Yeah, like it's the overall vibe that he has, the like the basic reliance on guitar and the just, I don't know. I don't know. But yeah, so Frank Turner, I think what drew me to the music was the lyrics and also like his voice. I don't know. I mean it's just really good music. Yeah, I don't know. So Frank Turner, I guess I started listening to him. I took a cursory glance at a couple of the songs that he had released as singles, I guess, around the time of Tape Deck Heart, and then as I started dating my next partner, he tried to be all impressive and like introduce me to Frank Turner because he had just spent a semester abroad in England, and he, like, nobody really knew Frank Turner there either, but he got really into it. It was so, oh God, I don't even know why. Oh God, Jesus. Okay. I have dated stupid people. I have been a stupid person while dating. Anyways, so he was all like, oh yeah, I have this really great band and like, or really great artist, but like nobody else has heard of them and blah, blah, blah. And he was like trying to show off. And I was like, yeah, no, I've heard of Frank Turner. I've listened to a couple of his songs. And he's like, no, you haven't. And I was like, yeah. And then I, why did I start this again? Anyways, let's see. Have I gotten more interested in that genre as a result? No. So Frank Turner is, I've said like punk and rock and folk. So the element that I hadn't already been listening to was folk, but I can't stand the like sort of Americana like folk country accent or twang that, you know, a lot of singers have. I cannot stand it. I'm pretty sure that there are a number of Frank Turner songs where the only reason that I like the song is because it is his glorious British accent singing it. And if I heard someone singing it in a Southern accent, I would dislike the song. So that's a whole lot more information than you needed, and I'm not even sure it was all of the information that was asked for. Good going, you. And by you, I mean me. Number three, do you get songs stuck in your head? What is this week's earworm? I do get songs stuck in my head. This week, it's been a couple different songs. I've gotten, I had this song from Hamilton stuck in my head last, or yesterday, slash this morning. I'm yawning. I'm tired. Well, I'm not super tired. I'm just yawning. Anyways, sorry. So yes, a song from Hamilton called Washington on Your Side. Because there's a part that, there's a part where Jefferson is rapping really fast, and I finally got it. I finally actually managed to rap it, and I'm really, really happy about that. So, yeah, so I've had that stuck in my head because I've been proud of myself. Go me! Yay! But earlier this week, it was probably, a couple of the new tracks from Lake Street Dive, one of which is called Mistakes, the other one of which is called, I think, it's either I Don't Care About You or I Don't Really Care About You. Let me see. Damn it. I can't find it. Lake Street Dive. Oh yeah, so the song is called I Don't Care About You by Lake Street Dive, and Mistakes, also by Lake Street Dive. Really like both of them. So yeah, that's been it. Number four, what was the best live performance you've ever seen? What made it so great? The best live performance that I have ever seen was the most recent Frank Turner concert I went to, which had Frank. His openers were a guy called Beans on Toast, and it's just a guy and a ukulele. And so anyway, so the show, you know, starts, and the first opener is this guy, Beans on Toast. He walks out barefoot with a ukulele, and he's double fisting beers. Or no, sorry, he had a glass of whiskey in one hand and he had a beer in the other. And my friend went to a different the night before he came out on stage the same way, but he was double fisting beers. And it was great. And he's this like political, he's this really chill, but also really political, British artist. I'm saying British, cause I don't actually, I'm assuming English, but possibly just British. Yeah. Anyways, so he comes out and he's really funny and just like mildly inebriated, and it's great. It's just like, it's a blast. It's really fun and funny and like a little stupid, but in the best kind of way. So he does this thing, he goes off. And then the second opener comes on. The second opener is this band called Skinny Lister. Skinny Lister is fucking incredible. They've got this super English sound. I don't even know how to describe it necessarily, except for that it's a very British sound, to me at least. But, you know, filthy American. I don't know jack shit. So they come out on stage and they're just super pumped up and it's awesome. They're like, you know, half screaming, half singing, and it's really fun and really funny. And I finally listened to all of Skinny Lister before I went to the show, so I could sing along and stuff, and it was fun. And the girl was like passing so there's one girl in this group of like 6 or 7 people, and she has this huge flagon that is like bigger than her torso, and she was like passing it around the crowd and stuff. They have an upright bassist, and at some point during their set, the upright bassist crowd surfed with the bass, which was just like really, oh god, it was insane. It was great. And then Frank Turner like came out and played mandolin on one of their songs, and like it was so cool. And then finally Frank comes out you know, on his own, and he's fucking fantastic. He came out with Positive Songs for Negative People like late last year, and then started a tour, and the songs from that album are amazing, and he's already got so many good songs. And so he basically played through like a good deal of like most of the favorites, and then after that, you know, and he started playing like songs off the new album. And there are these two songs off the album, Silent Key and Song for Josh, that I cannot listen to when I listen through his stuff, because they will make me cry, or like they will wreck my mood. And he performed both of them, partly because I was at, in the same club where he originally recorded Song for Josh, which was a song for one of his friends in the area who committed suicide a few years ago. So Song for Josh is kind of a tribute to his friend. And it just like, it really resonated with me, because that sort of thing is something that I deal with. So it wrecked me. I was a mess by the end of the night. I had been laughing and crying and just like everything, all of the emotions. It was great. So I think that was probably the best live performance that I've ever been to. And what in the fuck is going on with my phone? What the fuck? Jesus. Anyways, sorry. So let's see. Why the fuck? Motherfucker. Sorry about that. Apparently someone like took a breath outside and my dog started freaking out. That was great. Ow, fuck. Wait,
Why am I sitting like this?
Ow.
Okay. Where was I? Right. Five. Have you been to a performance that affected you emotionally in a way you weren't expecting? Tell us about it. that would actually probably just be the aforementioned Frank Turner concert. Yeah, I honestly, I don't have anything to expand on that one. number six, how important are lyrics in the music you listen to, or do you tend toward instrumentals? Well, I am a writer, wordsmith, you know, whatever you want to say. So I tend to appreciate lyrics a lot. I love instrumentals too, and I love instrumental tracks and all, but if I can't really get into the, for the most part, if I can't get into the lyrics, I'm not going to like a song, or I'm not going to want to listen to it as much as if it did have good lyrics, even if the instrumentals and everything were really good. Seven, follow up. What's the best song with the worst lyrics you can think of? What a really bad line for us. Oh, God. The best song with the worst lyrics you can think of. I'm sure I had an example of this, actually. But I honestly can't think of it right now. I know it exists. I know that there are many, probably, that I could choose from, but I just cannot think of it right now. Eight, do you ever listen to music in languages you don't speak? How did you find it? What do you like about it? So, remember when I was a violent emo Muppet child? I was also a little bit of a weeaboo for like a year and a half in high school. So I got really into J-pop through that because anime. And I like music in other, I mean, I like listening to music in other languages. I don't seek it out, but I will usually pay attention if it is there to pay attention to. Just because I think it's really cool. I like listening to sounds from other cultures and listening to, you know, that sort of thing. So, yeah, I mean, it's sort of a, like, if I happen across it, you know. So, yeah. Number nine, did your family influence your taste in music? If not, who did you get your music from when you were growing up? I think I already answered this question, actually. But yeah, my family, to an extent, they influenced my taste in music very early on. So, I mean, obviously, I still love Bollywood music. Not obviously. I mean, you don't know me that well yet. You're listening to this, I'm assuming, because you don't know me and you want to. Anyways, whatever. But yeah, so my so I love Bollywood music. I do love the Beatles, and those two are firmly, like, established because my parents, because my dad really, really liked both of them. And those loves sort of will always remain, but I don't, like, listen to them actively all that much anymore. The Beatles, at least. Bollywood, because they're always churning out new songs, I'm always sort of listening to them, sort of. I haven't seen a lot of movies recently, so I haven't picked up a whole lot of new music recently from Bollywood. I don't know. Anyways, if not, who did you get your music from when you were growing up? So it was mostly basically, well, it started out being just that there was always this top 40 station playing on the bus that I took to school. So that's how I sort of begrudgingly got into top 40 music. And I still will enjoy top 40 music. Like, I don't seek it out necessarily. Again, I don't know.
But I will listen to it. I will enjoy it. It's a thing. I like it. But otherwise, I don't know, friends. Spotify has actually been really, really useful because now what I'll do is if I hear like a song or something like that, or somebody recommends a song or an artist, I'll save it on Spotify. And what I do at work, because it's not like I work when I go to work, nah, but what I do at work is I will sit there and I will load in the discography of an artist, whatever is on Spotify. And I'll just listen through that and I'll save songs and that sort of thing. And it's really useful for me. And I really like it just because that's it makes my brain happy to work it that way. So that's that, I guess. Number 10, tell us about an early musical memory, the first song you remember hearing or learning, or the first music you can remember really liking as a kid. So when I was younger, when my grandparents were still alive, my grandmother taught me Indian classical music. And I liked it at first because I liked singing, and then I hated it after a while because I started going to like a teacher in the area, and she was kind of annoying and bitchy, and I hated her. And I don't know. And now, like, I'm back. I'm into Indian music again, but like, I can't, like, Indian classical music, and I want to learn, but I can't actually try to pursue it because if I do, my mom will never let me live it down. 11. If you're a performer, maybe tell us about your first performance. I'm not a performer. I would love to, well, I don't know if I would love to be. I have ridiculous stage fright. But I don't know. I'd like to perform, I feel like, at some point. I think I would find it enjoyable despite the stage fright. Yeah. Number 12. If you played slash or if you play slash played an instrument, what is the most annoying thing about your instrument and what is the best? I tried to learn guitar, but I don't think I played it long enough to be able to answer this question, partly because I can't think of an answer for this question, so I'm gonna move on. I'm gonna skip the follow-up actually because I don't know any like solo guitarists. 14. Do you collect physical media or are you all digital? Why? Here is my method. I use Spotify or I go on YouTube or I do whatever online digitally to find music that I like. If I like it, I look for it on Spotify. If I can't find it on Spotify, I look for it on YouTube or elsewhere online to download it. If I really, really, really like it, I buy physical. And that's just how I work. It's sort of the same way with books for me, actually. I will borrow a book or I will get it from the library or I'll find it online and read it. And then if I really, really like it enough that I want to have it, then I will go and buy it. 15. What is your favorite album cover art? Ooh. 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 Favorite album art. I don't know. I don't know. I can't really think of. I don't know. I can't think of any examples. I wish I could, but I can't. Ooh, wait, actually. Well, it's not necessary. Wow, necessary. It's not necessarily a my favorite, but I think one that you guys might find interesting is the cover art for Vivi Clyro, for their album, The Vertigo of Bliss. Just 'cause. Just 'cause. 16. Is there an artist or a musician that you just can't get into, someone that you want to like, but they've just never clicked for you? I don't know. I actually kind of feel that way about Taylor Swift. I don't really like Taylor Swift. Well, I don't really like her music. And a lot of my friends are really into her music, and I just can't get into it. And I feel a little worse about that now that she like became an actual feminist and like reasonable-ish person. And I've sort of got this like, I think that she is, she's good enough to be successful. She's, I applaud her on being able to get to where she is. I applaud her on, all of the things that she's accomplished. But at the same time, I just don't really care about her music. I just don't. I can't. I don't know. It's just not my thing. Are you one of those people who says they were born into the wrong era for the sort of music they like? When should you have been born? I hate people who say that. Mostly because, well, here's the thing. No, you may not get to see some of these people live, and all of that. But the people who say that they were born into the wrong era of music are also the people who are so willing to trash different genres and say like, "Oh, well, this is complete garbage and it's, only this genre is like everybody is just about making money and all of that and that sort of thing." And these are the same kind of people who like pull up these judgmental, generalizations and this bullshit about different genres as a whole and artists in those genres, and they tend to like it's just, I don't, oh, it just it pisses me off. They piss me off, and I don't know. Their attitude really pisses me off because you may not like a genre, but you can't slam everyone in it just because you perceive it a certain way. Especially when usually whatever you perceive is more coming out of your own bias than it is like actually something that you perceive in the community. But also, they're just those like annoying elitist fucks, and they're usually all like 12 years old and YouTube and like. Fuck you, man. You weren't around for the age of like. If you weren't around for like ASL, like A slash S slash L, not American Slang Language. But if you weren't around the internet for like that era, you. I don't want to care about your opinion. I don't know. Fuck. I don't know what I'm saying. God. Okay. We're moving on. But yeah, I just think that people who say that sort of thing, like, oh, I was born into the wrong era or whatever, like, I think that they tend to be very immature and elitist about something that they don't really understand the context of. Yeah. It's annoying. God fucking damn it, computer. Why don't you just go and take your updates and shove them in your cunty hole? That being said, I wish I had been cognizant of music in the 90s, because I would have liked to have gotten into like the punk. I would have liked to have been around for the like punk move, not movement, but like 90s like punk grunge ish, but mostly like Riot Girl era. I really wish I could have been around to have experienced Riot Girl music. But I don't believe I should have been born then, or like should have been around for that. I just think it would be a really cool thing to experience. Anyways, 18. You've been given the power to bring one deceased musician back from the dead. Who do you resurrect? Freddie Mercury. Freddie Mercury. Fucking done. Freddie Mercury. Done. 19. You're feeling really sad. What do you listen to if you feel like wallowing in your misery? Ooh. All the emo shit I used to listen to in middle school and high school, really. gosh, I don't know. That might be the best answer, actually. Just like the really sad, angsty music of my teenage years. 20. What do you listen to if you want to make yourself feel better? I'm pretty sure somebody's gonna be like wondering if I got paid or something to say all of this. But again, Frank Turner. Frank Turner, like pretty much most of the songs off of Positive Songs for Negative People, because it just works. The songs are all about like, life is fucked and life is hard, but you're better than it and you will rise above it and be awesome. And that's just like that is the theme of all of those songs. And it's just and it's like very it's rock, it's very solidly rock, but it's like still upbeat and all of that, and it's just really good. It's just really, really good. I don't know. That and just God, I don't know. All right, 21. What's on your sex playlist, or do you prefer to just provide your own soundtrack? I want to compile a sex playlist, but I don't normally listen to. I don't know. I don't know. I don't normally listen to music while I'm having sex, but I think it would be interesting. 22. What is the first song you'd play for your child, or if you don't ever want to have kids? What is the first song you'd play for an alien visitor to our world? Okay, those are two completely different songs and contexts and just oh man. Well, the first song I would want to play for my child, I don't know if I want to have kids. But the first song that I would want to play for my child if I had children, is Dear Theodosia from Hamilton, because it is literally two parents singing about how amazing their children are and or like how much they love their children and how much they want to fight to make the world safe for their children to grow up in and how much they want, to make it so that the world will so that their children can like come into the world and thrive. And I think that if you are going to be a parent, anything less than that is unacceptable. The first song I would play for an alien visitor to our world, I have no idea. I don't know. There's too much. There's too many. I can't think of it, Man. All right. And the last song. 23. What song would you want to hear just before you die? Eulogy by Frank Turner. I promise Frank Turner did not pay me or, you know, do anything in any way, shape, or form to encourage me to talk about him so much in this questionnaire. I just really, 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 really like him a lot. Hey, Frank, hit me up if you want. Just saying. Okay, anyways, that's it. We're done. Y'all are cool. Y'all are great. Y'all are awesome. Love yourselves. Go masturbate. Bye-bye.